Congratulate Representative Ulmer for actually getting a memo out of the court system. First time in 9 years in the legislature I've seen them really comment on anything, which is a remarkable step forward, I think. I think we do need to have that sort of input. I have no problem with the legislation other than that I've already spoken of, and then the further problem that half of our population is below the average income level, as a mathematical fact, and more than half of the people that we have in prison are people who are under that standard too, and yet if we're going to get adequate restitution, you have to go for the ones who have money. I think it's a good idea, definitely. Those who have money are less happy to lose it, and therefore may refrain from illegal acts. So I think that's a good hammer, although it doesn't solve the problem of the ones who have been assaulted or whatever by somebody who doesn't have enough to be worth talking about. And for the others, the ones who can afford it, I offer the suggestions I made earlier that both interests ought to be considered and also some way of being able to fix at least general guidelines on greater or lesser liability.
Representative Lyons.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For those people that perpetuate crime and are unable to pay restitution ordered by the judge, does that come out of the Crime Victims Compensation Fund?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Barnes, it does for some types of crimes and some expenses, and I don't know which they are. They also change periodically, but the Violent Crime Victim Fund is a fallback place that victims can go for. I think it's violent crimes, certainly in domestic crimes I believe are within that now, and so it is an available resource, at least in some circumstances.
Mr. Chairman, you are from the Department of Law.
I am, yes.
Could you find out and get back to me what the status is of our appeal to the Supreme Court on taking the permanent fund dividend away from the incarcerated felons?
Yes.
Because I know that Doug Bailey had intended to debate that himself before the court, and I would like to know who's handling that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering, on page 2, lines 9 through 17, it talks about restitution or reimbursement to persons injured or those of supply, a public or private or private nonprofit that has provided counseling, medical, and shelter service to victims. Is there any reason that we can also discuss restitution of the expense of defense if the public defender's agency is providing the defense? I think it's on the books now that the judge can levy that and also give up to 3 years, I think, for restitution. But I was wondering if this data that we're talking about even right here is available to find out how much restitution is made. I made an inquiry on how much restitution is made to reimburse public defenders' costs, and the Department of Law said that they didn't know, and they didn't even know how many the court ordered, let alone how many paid. I was wondering if there's any information available in knowing how many of these restitutions are actually being made at the present time, as specified by law.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Sharp, you're wondering how many people who are ordered to pay restitution are actually doing so?
Actually, how much was ordered for given periods, how much was actually received, how many occurrences, how many times did this happen?
Is
this an exercise of futility, or what are we talking about?
I don't have that data. There aren't any statistics that the Department of Law keeps, to my knowledge, that would break it down that way. We keep records of what orders are made by the court, but we don't have a separate data system for how much restitution is paid. And I don't know if the court system has those records either. I doubt they do, just because they've been shyer of computer services than the executive branch has been.
Mr. Chairman, on the subject of is this necessary, it, experientially, when you talk to victims' rights groups and when you talk to court system employees, they tell you that there are many, many more people who are ordered to pay restitution than there are people who actually pay the restitution.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because when the defendant is being sentenced, and if the judge only looks at the facts at that particular time, it appears that the individual is not able to pay. Whereas if you look at that individual after they get out of jail and they've just gone out and they've fished for 3 months on their gillnet permit and they've got $20,000 in the bank, they could pay restitution. So it's the snapshot in time. If you look at the individual at one point in time, they have the resources to pay. If you look at a different point in time, they don't have the resources to pay. And that's really all this bill does. It allows a more flexible period of time for the judge to determine the ability of the individual to pay restitution or a fine, which will increase the opportunity for those fines and restitutions to be paid. That's the bill. And I don't have the numbers for you, and I don't think anybody probably does, as to the exact percentage of restitution dollars or fine dollars that are paid in the state of Alaska. But there isn't anyone that I've spoken with who works with the criminal justice system who doesn't agree that this bill will improve the situation.
Mr. Chairman, if I might echo those sentiments. The situation we have is the legislature has passed restitution laws that have meant to be liberal and helpful to victims, and the Court of Appeals interprets them very narrowly. And through their decisions, they have now gotten us to a position where you can only look at the defendant's ability to pay the fine at the time of the sentencing. And if at that time of sentencing the defendant doesn't right then have the ability to pay more than one-tenth of it, the court is to only order the defendant to pay that one-tenth, even though the defendant, if he's convicted of a felony, is going to be on probation in all likelihood for the full 5 years available, and his economic situation could change dramatically in those 5 years. So although the law was intended to be liberal in allowing restitution for victims through Court of Appeals opinions, it's become narrower, and it's necessary now for the legislature to reiterate, yes, it does intend for victims to be able to get restitution in cases, and to go back to what we had hoped we had done in prior sessions.
I like that. Liberal bills that are tough on criminals. Is there any further discussion? It's my intention to prepare a zero fiscal note for the court system, and if they would like to prepare something other than that at some point, it's up to them. I'll accept the motion, Representative Boyer.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we pass out House Bill number 90 with individual recommendations and the accompanying fiscal notes.
Without objection, so moved. Nothing else to come before the committee today. Meeting adjourned. Good bill, after I
understand.
But the only thing that's screwed is the current law.
I agree. The snapshot has got to be a lot more positive.